I don't know about you, but I find the idea that I would completely overcome all greed, hatred, and delusion a really attractive possibility. And to be honest, it seems incredibly lofty. It seems like a long way away from where I'm at right at the moment. So to me, the Arahant ideal seems a really kind of ambitious and really kind of grand spiritual goal that I feel quite a long way away from. But it seems that at least some Buddhists started to think, well, actually, no, there's further than this, or there's further to go. One could actually conceive of something that was even more, that was even greater than the Arahant ideal. And they took their direction in this from the example of the Buddha himself. So one of the things that's distinctive about the Buddha as opposed to his followers is that the Buddha accomplished his awakening without himself having someone to teach it to him. And in Buddhist terms, he then revived what's called the Dharma. He revived Buddhist teachings for this universe, which he then, you know, spread to many beings and so on. And now we have a Buddhist tradition that's been in existence for 2,500 years. So this is something that's very unique and special about the Buddha, that he became awakened. He realized his awakening unsupported, without help. And then those that realized their awakening after him depended upon his understanding and his teachings to do that. So this is slightly speculative, but I suggest that some Buddhists started to think, well, wouldn't it be better, wouldn't it be greater somehow to be like the Buddha and to actually realize awakening without help by oneself, and not only that, but perhaps introduce it into a world where it doesn't currently exist. And this starts to take us into a new direction and a different conception of what the Buddhist life might be. And here we're beginning to touch upon what the Bodhisattva ideal is about. So for these new Buddhists, I'll call them new Buddhists, but they were probably really old Buddhists who had perhaps some slightly different ideas. They started to think, or at least they started to say in their writings, that there was something a bit limited and limiting about the Arahant ideal. And what they picked up on in particular, or one of the things that they picked up on, is this idea that one would see it as one's goal to escape from the world and somehow to go away and go into some, maybe some sublime spiritual state, but basically move away from the world of suffering. In their text, they start to characterize that goal as somehow somewhat selfish and even somewhat inward looking, and perhaps lacking in a compassionate awareness, or a deeply compassionate awareness for those beings that are left behind. So they started to present a way of seeing things whereby the ideal wasn't simply to escape from the world of suffering, but rather the ideal is to continue, even willingly, to return into the world of suffering again and again and again to help other beings to become liberated, perhaps over and over again, even indefinitely, and perhaps ultimately to help any beings, all beings, everywhere to become awakened. And so this is the beginnings of what we can call the Bodhisattva ideal. It's not the case that the idea of the Bodhisattva was created or invented by Mahayana Buddhists. It's actually found in the early Buddhist texts, and the Buddha himself is referred to as a Bodhisattva. But in the early Buddhist texts, there are only a relatively small number of beings who are considered great enough or spiritually capable of fulfilling what is presented as an extremely difficult, even more difficult, spiritual path. So in the early Buddhist texts, the Bodhisattva ideal is seen as the province of a very small number of extremely elevated beings like the Buddha. For everybody else, the Arahant path is judged as the appropriate one to follow. Over time, and I'm running ahead a little bit here, and I'll come back to this, but over time, as the Bodhisattva ideal became more and more characteristic of the approach of Mahayana Buddhism, it started to see the Bodhisattva ideal as the ideal for everybody, the ideal which everyone should pursue, not just a small elite, not just a special elite, but everybody. But even then, within the early Mahayana Buddhist tradition, it wasn't initially presented and described as something which everybody should follow. Following the early Buddhist tradition, it was seen as the role of the spiritually super fit, if you like, the 1% who had extreme spiritual gifts and who were able to pursue what was a much more demanding path. So the Bodhisattva ideal was for them, and everybody else should follow the Arahant path. But this changed over time, and over time the Arahant path, if you like, was devalued or downgraded within Mahayana Buddhism, and in some texts it almost becomes a false goal, so discredited has it become. But there's a lot of polemical work in that vilifying or demonizing of the Arahant ideal, and I think it's worth remembering that in itself it is a very profound and sublime ideal, despite or notwithstanding what Mahayana Buddhism might have to say about it.